Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father God, thank you for gathering us here and give us opportunity to praise your name, listen to your words. Through this time, ask you, your Holy Spirit, to be with us and open our hearts so that we may be able to understand your words properly. With your love, grace, and mercy, we shall live our Christian life. And last week, there has been many Bible seminars, and I thank you for calling many new souls to you. I pray for other newly born again Christians. Hold them with your words and help them grow up in your words. Let them multiply tenfolds, hundredfolds in your name. Also, ask your Holy Spirit to be in our heart so that your words can be inscribed in our heart. I also pray that you call new workers for church. And I also pray for brothers and sisters preaching gospel all over the world. I especially pray for Pastor John, who is giving Bible seminar in Japan. Be with him and with others. And I pray that you work with us through this time. As I pray all this name in your name, amen. Let's open our Bible to 147, verse 15. 147, 15. He sends out his command to the earth. His word runs very swiftly. He gives snow like wool. He scatters the frost like ashes. He casts out his hail like morsels. Who can stand before his cold? He sends out his word and melts them. He causes his wind to blow and the waters flow. 18, let's read it together. He sends out his word and melts them. He causes his wind to blow and the waters flow. Pastor John. Is participating Bible seminar retreat in Japan, and there will be retreat for pastors. So please remember his work and pray for him. So today we are going to contemplate on from verse 16 to 18. So, amongst born-again Christians, there are many Christians who are going through afflictions in their heart. So, throughout life, we have winter. So, you have many concerns, like, will there be spring in my life? Will there be any hope in my life? So today's words, hopefully today's word will be helpful for those who are having difficult time in their heart. So first, let's do an overview of this chapter and apply these teachings into our Christian life. The people of Israel were the people who actually experienced God's work firsthand. So everything happened to Israel actually happened to them. So the background of 147 is they repeatedly disobeyed to God. They committed so many sins. So for 70 years, Israelites were held captive by Babylonians. So by the attack of Babylonia, the Jerusalem were burned, became desolate, and captured, and lived like an earthworm. So to people of Israel, winter has come to them. So in the midst of affliction, they ask help from God. And these are the recovery that was done by God to people of Israel. So these are the blessings, list of blessings God gave to people of Israel for 70 years. When Israelites were being captive, they went through so many hardships, and it was described as time of winter, season of winter. Here, 16, he gives snow like wool. He scatters the frost like ashes. Who can stand before his cold? So, the severe winter came upon people of Israel. So eventually, God gave them spring. 18, he sends out his word and melts them. He causes wind to blow and the waters flow. So this was the history of Israel. When Israelites were disobedient, they were destroyed pathetically. So their country was destroyed. They were being captive. And their land became desolate. There was no rain. So all the people went through difficulties, and they became hopeless. And there were no more prophecies from God. So what's the reason of this affliction? These are the reasons. 147 verse 10. This is the reason why. He does not delight in the strength of the horse. He takes no pleasure in the legs of a man. So this is the reason why the Jews went through all these hardships. So what does it mean by strength of the horse? Strength of the horse means the power of man. The people at that time, Israelites relied heavily on Egyptians. They depended on men. And it also says, no pleasure in the legs of a man. What does it mean? It means people live according to their own plans, their own ideas, own strategies. They only rely on people and men. This is the reason why Israelites had to go through the afflictions of winter. They relied on Egyptians, Assyrians. They rely on other countries. Let's turn to Isaiah 31. Verse 1. Ooh, to those who go down to Egypt for help, rely on horses, who trust in chariots because they are many, and in horsemen because they are very strong, but who do not look to the Holy One of Israel nor seek the Lord. Yet he also is wise and will bring disaster, will not call back his words, will arise against the house of evildoers and against the help of those who work iniquity. Now the Egyptians are men, not God, and their horses are flesh and not spirit. When the Lord stretches out his hand, both he who helps will fall, and he who is helped will fall down. They all will perish together. There have been many talks of Egypt, there were many horses in Egypt. So at that time, the chosen one, the people of Israel, bought many horses from Egypt. And many people move to Egypt. They rely on power of horses. So the people at the time rely on things that are visible. So why people went through the winter of afflictions? They only rely on people they can see. Let's turn to Ezekiel 29, 6. Then all the inhabitants of Egypt shall know that I am the Lord, because they have been a staff of reed to the house of Israel. So, Egyptians were only a staff of reed. And if think about it, if a staff is reed, it's not stable enough. You will eventually fall. So even though people thought that Egyptians were strong and stable, but it was not. From God's point of view, Israelites were going to fall down. So they only rely on a group of people that seem strong, but they were not. And what does it mean by man's leg? They only live based on their own ideas, own plans. And do you know the biggest sin committed by people in Noah's age? They abandoned God. They misunderstood, thinking that they can make the world perfect. What about the Tower of Babel? They say, oh, let's make this world better by man. And now we live in that age too. These days, people abandon God. They forget God. Remember the ship Titanic? About 2,200 people aboard in the ship, and about 1,500 died. And before this Titanic leave the port, the captain said, even God cannot sink this ship. But what we know what happened eventually, many, many people died. So now Israelites are facing a difficult time, the winter. So now, there's like a snow like wool, frost like ashes, and hail like morsels. And morsels, have you ever been hit by morsels? It's hard. It's hurtful. So every time Israelites disobey to God, they receive so many punishments. And, 10 punishments, 10 disasters, given by God to Egypt, there were hails, and also to people of Canaan, and also Russia. When Russia will invade Israel, there will be many hails. There will be many weather disasters, and it's mentioned in Ezekiel, and how heavy, 56 kilogram. So whenever Israelites disobeyed to God, there were hails. So people finally realized they did something wrong. So they truly repented. And finally, there was a spring. So
So in Babylonia, Jews became very humble to the earth. They became like an earthworm. Let's turn to Isaiah 41. Isaiah 41. So this was the prophecy 14, verse 14. Fear not, you worm Jacob, you men of Israel. I will help you, says the Lord, and your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. So it says, Fear not, you worm Jacob. For 40 years of captivity, they became like a worm. And, living abroad is not easy. People go through difficult time. So in this difficult time, they learn to truly depend on God. And now they are relying on God. And God saved those who are humble, those who truly seek God. And when people truly repent, God gives spring to them. So think of me when you arrive on your land, and you shall be with me in the land of heaven. So, when you have true repentance, you have peace in your heart. So, for 70 years of cold winter, they learn to ask God's help, and if finally, they were freed. So, you'll meet me when you desperately seek me. So so God is saying, when you wholeheartedly find me, you shall find me. So this chapter is also written in the background, in the backdrop of Israelites' captivity. So when they truly seek God's help, He gives His help. He gives His hands. Let's turn to Psalms 102. Verse 1. Hear my prayer, O Lord, and let my cry come to you. Do not hide your face from me in the day of my trouble. Incline your ear to me. The day that I call, answer me speedily. Verse 6. I'm like a pelican of the wilderness. I'm like an owl of the desert. I lie awake and am like a sparrow alone on the housetop. My enemies reproach me all day long. Those who deride me swear an oath against me. For I have eaten ashes like bread and mingled my drink with weeping because of your indignation and your wrath, for you have lifted me up and cast me away. So in the midst of afflictions, in pain, they cry for God. So in pain, when they ask for God's help, they are freed. And finally, people of Israel, spring has come to people of Israel. Psalms 126. Psalms 126. verse 1. When the Lord brought back the captivity of Zion, we were like those who dream. And then our mouth was filled with laughter, and our tongue with singing. Then they said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us, and we are glad. For 70 years of captivity, finally, spring has come to them. So they felt as if they were dreaming. We were like those who dream. Then our mouth was filled with laughter. So this was a great thing. So when there was a spring, finally, these things was happening. So they came back. 147 verse 2. The Lord builds up Jerusalem. He gathers together the outcast of Israel. So God rebuild the Israel again. And he rebuilt temple again. And the wall surrounding it. So God allowed spring. So Nehemiah built the wall. Ezra resurrected the people's soul and belief. So God once again gather everyone. It says here in verse 2 and 3, the Lord builds up Jerusalem. He gathers together the outcasts of Israel. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. So God healed people's heart, people's pain. Verse 8, who covers the heavens with clouds, who prepares rain for the earth, who makes grass to grow on the mountains. So when being disobedient, God gave them rain, hail, ashes. But when people came back to him, God gave them food. He gives to the beasts food, and to the young ravens they cry. Verse 13, for he has strengthened the bars of your gates. He has blessed your children within you. So people of Israel, like a strong door, God gave them strength, give blessing to their children. When parents were disobedient, their children received the punishment too. But when they were obedient, blessings were given to them. In verse 14, he makes peace in your borders and fills you with the finest wheat. In verse 19, he declares his words to Jacob, his statutes and his judgments to Israel. And as mentioned in Israel 8, when people were disobedient, God stopped his words. He stopped giving his words. But when they came back, God allowed them to have spring again. God started giving his words again, received blessings. Then why God gave them spring again? Because in the midst of afflictions, they became humble. God held those who are humble. It says here in verse 6, the Lord lifts up the humble. He casts the wicked down to the ground. In the time of afflictions, they became humble. That's why God held them. And verse 11, this is the key verse. Verse 7. Verse 10. He does not delight in the strength of the horse. He takes no pleasure in the legs of a man. This is the reason. Before, they only rely on power of men, their own ideas and knowledge. That's why they face harsh, cold winter. But in the time of afflictions, they learn to look up. They learn to ask for God's help. Only then God give them His help. So they started searching for God's mercy and help. Only then God give them blessings. There are four seasons: spring, summer, autumn, winter. God is the one who controls all the weather. Same thing in your life. There can be winter. There can be spring. God is the one who gives them, allows it. Psalms 74. Psalms 74, verse 16. Verse 16. The day is yours, the night also is yours. You have prepared the light and the sun. You have settled the borders of the earth. You have made summer and winter. Why do you think God mentioned all this? So in this time, the people of Israel were in despair. In verse 1, O God, why you cast us off forever? Why does your anger smoke against the sheep of your pasture? Verse 3, lift up your feet to the perpetual desolations. The enemy has damaged everything in the sanctuary. So the background of this verse is also the land of Israel. The country was being destroyed by Babylonians. So now it's dark. So now God removed His food. So now people of Israel is asking for His help. So the people are saying, I welcome you, so please come back. Please become in the center. Verse 3, lift up your feet to the perpetual desolations. The enemy has damaged everything in the sanctuary. So they are asking God, become the center of our life again. So when God become the center, winter will go away, spring will come, and eventually there will be the weather of summer, which is the time for harvest. So God is the one who rules the nature. So when you live away from God, it's dark and winter. But when you get closer to God, there'll be summer and spring. So now this verse is saying that God is the ruler of everything. So living a life. There will be winter and then spring. But that's the rule of nature. But that's not same in our life. But when you never seek God, when you never ask for God's help, when you never get closer to God, there will be no spring. So Israel became now is the time for Israelites to face spring. They were captive for 2,000 years, but not anymore. So, and after salvation, we live in a special plan, and you maybe now live in a dark night, and there'll be many now, maybe you're facing cold winter, but you need to understand this could be a blessing, and God will give you spring, and there could be many signs for that, and there are signs and symbols that the spring is coming. So this is what we are going to talk about, learn about. Let's go back to 147, verse 1. Praise the Lord, for it is good to sing praises to our God, for it is pleasant and praise is beautiful. The Lord builds up Jerusalem. He gathers together the outcast of Israel. Israelites were being captive. After 70 years, people, Jews, were able to come back, and now the country is going to recover. And also, Israelites killed Jesus Christ, and so for 2,000 years, they had to live away from their land. And there are many prophecies that they will be able to come back, and everything have come to pass. And also, before the second coming of Jesus Christ, there are many prophecies about that. And all those prophecies have come to pass now. So now, that's the age we live in now. One of the prophecies was they will be able to recover their country and, you know, Jews come back to Israel. And also one of the prophecies was they will be able to rebuild their temple. And now they are ready to build their temple and learn from the tree. And in Israel, summer is time for harvest. So they now have spring. They are going through spring. And very soon there will be summer, and as a nation, people will be able to receive salvation. And now it's all getting ready. It's going to happen very soon. For 2000, the land was abandoned and desolate. But now, land is going through changes. Now, one of their major industry is agriculture. They are now cultivating grains, fruits. People were scattered once, but now they're coming back. Now they're gaining power as a nation. So these are the concrete signs, Joel. Verse 21. Fear not, O land. Be glad and rejoice, for the Lord has done marvelous things. Do not be afraid, you beast of the field, for the open pastures are springing up, and the tree bears its fruit. The fig tree and the vine yield their strength. Be glad then, you children of Zion. Rejoice in the Lord your God, for he has given you the former rain faithfully, and he will cause the rain to come down for you, the former rain, the latter rain in the first month. The threshing floors shall be full of wheat. The vats shall overflow in the new wine and oil. Verse 26, let's read it together. You shall eat in the plenty and be sanctified and praise the name of the Lord your God, who has dealt wondrously with you. And my people shall never be put to shame. So now, Israel is gaining power again. They are bearing fruits. So now, they are being treated marvelously. So they are now praising God. So look at Israel now. It's one of the powerful nations. And it also said that the treasures of ocean will come back to them. And we know there will be lots of oil deposits around the ocean in Israel, of Israel. What about us? You know, we have no natural resources. But in case of Israel, they have so much natural resources around them. The time of winter passed. Now they are reconstructing. They are reaching for the top. Spring has passed. Summer is coming. So, there is a strong correlation between resurrection of Israel and the second coming of Jesus, the end time. Let's go back to 147. 15. He sends out his command to the earth. His word runs very swiftly. He gives snow like wool. He scatters the frost like ashes. He casts out his hail like morsels. Who can stand before his cold? So after coming back to their own land, the winter is supposed to be cold. Winter is always cold. It has to be, so germs can die. So this gives us teachings too. So in the time of disobedience, Israelites face cold winter. But they repented and now facing spring. And he gives snow like wool. He scatters the frost like ashes. He casts out his hail like morsels who can't stand before his cold. And people receive salvation in the time of cold winter. God didn't say just snow. It's a snow like wool. Bible compares snow to wool. A frost like ashes. Frost like ashes. And hail like morsels. So there's a time of winter. There is cold snow. Hail is very cold. And why do you think God made these comparisons? Because in our life, we can have winter. It's a very difficult time. And why God gave them such time? It's actually a blessing from God. There's another verse that God made wool as a comparison. Let's turn to Isaiah chapter 1:18. Let's read it together. Come now and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be as wool. So God is calling people, come to me. But people don't repent. They don't come back to God. That's why God gave them winter. As says it here, though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. So what does wool represent? It represents Jesus. In Judges, Gideon said, show me the sign. So God gave him a special sign. Only the wool became moisture. It became wet. So Gideon has got another sign. And now, the land became full of dew, morning dew. But only the wool became very dry. So the wool represents Jesus. So how do you think Gideon gained victory? Because he relied on Jesus, relied on words of God. The grace and truth only belongs to Jesus. The world was dry. There's no grace of dew. So without Jesus, there's no true grace. But the wool became dry. So due to Jesus' sacrifice, he became thirsty. And now we receive his grace. So, when do we realize that there is a true grace of God? Only when there is difficult times, only when there is hail, when you are beaten down. People only come back when they are beaten. Did you come back to Jesus? Did you come back to God when things were going well? No, you didn't. God gave them difficult time so that they can understand gospel. What about sin? Sin represents repentance. When do people repent? They never do that when the things are going well. They only repent when there is cold time, when they are going through afflictions. In Esther, in Persia, Israelites were about to get killed. They roll on the ground with sins. So the sin relates to repentance, and Jonah too. They sat down on ashes. Why? Because they know they committed sins. In Daniel chapter 9, he prayed. He sat on ashes and prayed to God. Let's turn to Matthew 11. So ashes represent repentance. 11. From 20, then he began to rebuke the cities in which most of his mighty works had been done, because they did not repent. Woe to you, Chorazin, woe to you, Bethsaida, for if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. So all these towns, so lots of miracles of Jesus. Says in Utiu Chorazin, Utiu Bethsaida, for if mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. So sitting on ashes means they repent. Lot too, he realized his shortcomings, and he repented on ashes, wearing sackcloth. Let's turn to Job. Job 42, verse 5 and 6. 42, 5 and 6. I have heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eyes see you. Therefore I abhor myself, repent in dust and ashes. So there's a relationship between repent and ashes. There's a snow and oil. In winter time, you receive salvation and understand the gospel. Repent, inhale, and more cells. When you truly understand the words of God, even before salvation, you are bitten down. Then you understand the gospel. You accept the gospel. And after salvation too, when you truly understand the words of God, when you go through a difficult time, when you go through hardships. So words of God is bread. Then just like more cells, the crumbs, you can swallow and digest words of God really well when you go through a difficult time. And when there is spring, when there is recovery time, even though your family is broken, after living Christian life properly, there is peace in your family. And God heals. And the same thing, the 147, what happened to chapter 147 can happen to your life too, can happen to your spiritual life too. When you truly repent, when you truly, truly repent, you can have recovery. Some people, they shut down their mind. They never accept the words of God. So even if they listen to Bible seminar, they never accept the gospel. There's a reason why God give people difficult time so that they can accept gospel. God So it says, indeed, it was for my own peace that I had great bitterness, but you have lovingly delivered my soul from the pit of corruption, for you have cast all my sins behind your back. So if you just came back with a little bit of hail, that would be wonderful, but you people never do that. So God give them frost and hail, then you come back. Let's turn to Matthew 15. Matthew 15. 21. Then Jesus went out from there and departed to the region of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came from that region and cried out to him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, son of David. My daughter is severely demon-possessed. So she was a Gentile. It says, "Behold, a woman of Canaan came from the region and cried out to him, saying, 'Have mercy on me, O Lord, son of David. My daughter is severely demon-possessed. This woman is having a very, very stressful time.'" Now, a demon is possessed, so she is in a great shock. Just like that, when there is a great pain, there is a great pain in her life. 23, "But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and urged him, saying, 'Send her away, for she cries out after us.' But he answered and said, 'I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel.' And she came and worshipped him, saying, 'Lord, help me.' But he answered and said, 'It is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to little dogs.' And she said, 'Yes, Lord, yet even the little dogs eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table.' Then Jesus answered and said to her, 'O woman, great is your faith. Let it be to you as you desire.' And her daughter was healed from that very hour." First, it seems as if Jesus is denying to help her. Because, you know, the priority is given to people of Israel first. You know, Jesus said, "It is not good to take children's bread and throw it to the little dogs." And some people could have been offended. Right? But she didn't. And Jesus is the only one who can say such a thing. You know, people are like worms. But what did this woman say? "Yes, Lord, yet even." Yes. She accepts it. She wasn't offended. And she said, "Even the little dogs eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table." And Jesus answered and said to her, "O woman, great is your faith. Let it be to you as you desire." So this Gentile woman, how was she able to find Jesus? There was a great distress in her life. There was a shock, big stress. So this was the main reason. This was the biggest catalyst for her to find Jesus. Same thing, people suddenly get a cancer. Their loved one suddenly dies. In those times, people seek God. Same thing, it could be same in your life too. You understand gospel, and now your soul is having spring. And throughout Christian life, God gives them proper portion of difficulties and temptations and tests. So in the Bible, there is a kiss and second to the bedroom, and third, a feast. There's winter and to spring, and eventually to the top. It's mentioned in the Song of Solomon. It's the same thing. Now we kiss with Jesus Christ, and we walk to the bedroom, which means having a intimate fellowship with Jesus. As mentioned in 2 Peter, the gathering of born again Christians is a feast. Same thing, to be strengthened, we gather in church and have fellowship and be strengthened with words of God. And then, after winter, God give the stable path. Let's turn to Song of Solomon, chapter 2. verse 4. He brought me to the banqueting house, and his banner over me was love. So, as you can see here, banquet house means our fellowships, cell group meetings, and all those different meetings is a feast. Verse 10. This is where we will go. Chapter 2, verse 10. My beloved spoke and said to me, "Rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away." For lo, the winter is past, the rain is over and gone. The flowers appear on the earth. The time of singing has come. The voice of the turtle dove is heard in our land. The fig tree puts forth her green figs, and the vines with the tender grapes give a good smell. Rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. It says here, verse 10, my beloved spoke and said to me, "Rise up, my love, my fair one." So, God is referring to born-again Christians as my beloved. So this is how much God loves born-again Christians. Parents love their children. So, after born again, become a bride, become a lover of Jesus Christ. My beloved spoke, my love, rise up, my love, my fair one. But in winter day, nothing happened. First, we kiss to Jesus. We start fellowship. First, we need to be fed. We're so young. So in winter, we cannot move. So the spring has come. So get up and go. The winter is past, rain is over and gone. The flowers appear on the earth. The time of singing has come, and the voice of the turtle dove is heard in our land. The fig tree puts forth her green figs, and the vines with the tender grapes give a good smell. Rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. After being born again, there is no temptations that we cannot bear. And within that, God leads us. So born again Christians, there can be difficulties in your life, but that's something we can go over and we can endure those tests. And after time passed, there's a time of green figs, tender grapes, good smell. And there isn't just flat land. There can be ups and downs. 4:8, Song of Solomon, chapter 4, verse 8. Come with me from Lebanon, my spouse, with me from Lebanon. Look from the top of Amana, from the top of Sinner and Hermon, from the lion's dens, from the mountains of the leopards. So, Solomon was a king, and this woman was from Lebanon, a countryside. Now, a romantic relationship is beginning here. Likewise, our Lord, our King, and us, and me, we are starting a new relationship. Come with me from Lebanon, my spouse. So we become a spouse of God. With me from Lebanon, look from the top of Amana, from the top of Sinner and Hermon. So this is Hermon is the biggest mountain in Israel, and its height is over 2,000. And opposite to Hermon, there's a mountain of Lebanon, a Sinner. So God will take us. I mean, the flat land is easy to walk on, but God also takes us to the top of the mountain. And, you know, uphill is difficult to walk on, but God is going to help us to walk on that path from the mountains of leopards and lion's dens. So we'll climb up the mountains by guidance of God, and eventually God will take us up there. From top, it's easy to look down. You can see far. And just as you can see the Lebanon from top, you can see the world from the top of a mountain, and you can see how you are saved. Now you understand why there were thorns and sufferings and distress. Now you understand how you were able to be saved. So look from the top. The higher you go up, easier to see the stressful life of men on non-born, non-believers. From the top, you can see how nothing this world is. You can see how people's life is like grasshoppers. From the top, you can have wider vision, and you can see how great God's work is, and you can have greater heart. And from the top, you can see the den of lions. And usually Bible compares lion's work to devil's work. Higher you go up, you can see how devil works. You can see his tricks. You can see this world is nothing but a castle that will be doomed. Amenna is same as Amen. And when we follow the path of God, path of Jesus, and it's not easy to walk on the path. It's hard, but you still follow. Saying Amen, Amenna. And there's actually nothing to see. It's not such a sightseeing place. You're just constantly saying Amen. There's the path is actually not pleasant to walk on. A snare means armor. So you wear this heavy armor. And along the path, there is a lion's dens and mountains of leopards. The higher you go up, more difficult, stronger devil's work become. So you go up and look down, you realize things you need to do. So once your soul is experiencing spring, God takes you on a right path, and according to the level of your spirit and your faith, God takes you higher and higher and gives you rightful duty. And even if you have spring, there still can be difficulties. Let's go back to 147, 16. He gives snow like wool. He scatters the frost like ashes. He casts out his hail like morsels. Who can stand before his cold? So to born-again Christians, even the born-again Christians can have winner. God keeps giving sufferings, especially those who are being loved by God. And you say, I am born-again Christian. I thought finally spring has come to my life, but why is my life still difficult? Even to those who are living a good Christian life, God allows them to go through different tests. The more tests you are going through, the wider you will become. Of course, you understand the grace of God, but when there are extra difficulties in your life, you realize greater mercy of Jesus. When you clang a copper, when you clang tambourine made of copper, it makes a greater sound. Just likewise, when you go through greater tribulations, you experience more blessings, greater blessings. And in the difficult times, you understand the true characteristics of God, and you understand the tribulations Jesus had to go through. Just like get hit by hail, you understand your shortcomings and your insufficiencies, and you understand your weaknesses. Just like hit by hail, you become very humble and understand words of God even more. So who has more words of God? So words of God is bread. You shall not live by bread alone, but by words of God. And who can understand words of God? Those who experience more difficulties. So who's the good example who received biggest hail? It's Job. Job was a faithful Christian. He was very faithful and royal to God. But one day he received big hail. His possessions were gone. His children died. And his health became worse. Let's turn to Job. So I have been allotted months of futility, and wearisome nights have been appointed to me. When I lie down, I say, when shall I arise and the night be ended? For I have had my fill tossing till dawn. My flesh is cake with worms and dust. My skin is cracked and breaks out afresh. My days are swifter than a weaver's shuttle, and are spent without hope. I mean, possessions are gone, okay, but there are 10. And imagine his 10 children died. Can you imagine the pain he had to go through? Even if one child died, it's very painful. But 10 kids died. Not only one night, it says many nights he had to go through these difficulties. He couldn't sleep. So it says here, when I lie down, I say, when shall I arise and the night be ended? For I have had my fill tossing till dawn. When there's a great pain, you cannot sleep. When you're really sick, my flesh is cake with worms and dust. My skin is cracked and breaks out afresh. You got skin disease. So even his wife11 and 12. Therefore, I will not retrain my mouth. I will speak in the anguish of my spirit. I will complain in the bitterness of my soul. Am I a sea or a sea serpent that you set a guard over me? So he was in great pain. He got up the next day, but he was able to breathe again. But still, he had to go. He was going through pain. So this was the confession of Job. He's saying, am I a sea? I'm just a little humble person. But why are you giving me such great pain? Or a sea serpent? And the serpent is supposed to be really strong, but I'm not a serpent. So there's great pain. This book was written. It is great pain. This very important book was written after great pain from Job. So in your life, if you're going through a difficult time, there'll be many words to you. So Joseph was the favorite son, but his brothers hated him, was jealous of him. So one day Joseph wanted to see his brother and travel very far to see them. But what did Joseph's brother do? They put him in a pit and sold him. Can you imagine the shock? How shocked he was when Joseph saw his brother try to sell him. But you know, the life of Joseph is written in detail in the book of Genesis. And David too. The king Saul tried to kill him. His life was in danger. Can you imagine a king of a nation try to kill you? And who was the father-in-law of David? It was Saul, his own father-in-law, tried to kill him. They threw long spear and short spear. So David too was in great despair. After all those sufferings and hardships, God gave him precious words. In the New Testament, who was the one who received the biggest and frequent hail? It was Apostle Paul. He went through so many sufferings in his life, so many hardships. But because of all his sufferings, he was able to write 14 books in the New Testament. It doesn't just stop in hail. There are crumbs. It's the same in your life too. 2 Corinthians 11. 2 Corinthians 11. This is written by Apostle Paul. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I'm more in labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequently, in deaths often. From the Jews, 5 times I received 40 stripes minus 1. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I've been in the deep. The journey is often in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of the Gentiles, the perils in the city, the perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren. In weariness and toil, in sleepness, often in cold and nakedness. The Apostle Paul was the one who beaten the most. Because of these hardships, Apostle Paul received so many words from God. Likewise, you may be facing all these tribulations and tests and punishment, but looking back, it was all a blessing of God and hands of God. But right next to snow, there is wool, hail and ashes. Hail and crumbs. There can be difficulties, but turn your eye to God and you realize it was actually a big blessing. Why does God give you pain? Throughout your life, throughout one's life, there's so many shocking events, unexpected events. It's very stressful. Great pain. And you understand the words of God. When you understand the God the most, when the things going well, when things are flourishing, no, when you are going through a hard time. So the young adults, when they talk about the doctrine, young adults are very curious. They pay attention really well. But then when the moms listen about those, they don't really care. But when we talk about tribulations and hardships, young adults don't have much difficulties, so they don't really care. But moms listen about the tribulations and difficulties, they are really touched. So people always accept words differently. So why born again Christians face winter? Because we rely on man. We rely on the world. That's why Israelites experience winter. Likewise, why there is Satan? There's a division between God and man. God is the creator, so we're supposed to depend on him. So living a life without relying on God, this is the biggest sin. This is what the devil wants. He's the enemy of God. And who become the enemy? Living a life, departing from God, thinking that they don't have to rely on God. That's the path of the devil. And God does not like that. You live a life depending on your own methods. Why was Jacob cornered? Because he has many tricks. He was very smart. That's why God put him into the corner and made him rely on him. Made Jacob rely on God. Likewise, in our life, God is saying, God wants to give blessings to soul. To whom? To whom? Very simple. Those who rely, truly rely on God. And this is what God wants. Let's say there's an eagle, the mother eagle destroy the nest so that the baby eagle can fly. Likewise, God does not want you to rely on the world. So God destroys many things for you, so that you can fly away from the world. You have to look up. Look up. When you look up, you can be comforted. That's the only way. So what's the secret of receiving spring? It's looking up. Let's turn to 147, Psalms 147. Verse 6. The Lord lifts up the humble. He casts the wicked down to the ground. So being humble is one of the biggest secrets. So an individual, country, nation, they receive blessing when they are humble. And when they look up to God, when they seek for God's love, when they seek for God's help, only then God gives them blessings. Then you become an orphan. When you remove idols, when you have nothing to rely on, so you pray to God, God help me. When you truly pray to God, God remove winter and give you spring. When you truly, truly fear God, when you truly depend on God. Exodus chapter 1. Pharaoh said, kill all the babies. But some people fear their boss. They fear the CEO of a company. No, that's not truly fearing God. And Genesis 22, God said, give up your son. Give up Isaac. So when Abraham truly tried to offer his son as a burnt offering, then God said, finally, you fear me more than anything. What does it mean by fear God? When you truly prioritize God, when the sons of Prophet Elijah, he disrespected God. He didn't fear God. And fearing God means you despise evil. So when you despise sins, you fear God. When you truly fear God, whether you eat or drink or anything you do it for the glory of God. That's the true meaning of fearing God. As it mentioned in Proverbs chapter 3, when you live away from sin, and you give everything, give all the offer, all the, you spend your possessions wisely. That's true meaning of fearing God. When you do not use your wealth for God, it means that doesn't mean that you truly respect God. The Rahab invited, accepted spies into her household because she truly feared God. So you understand the hierarchy. You need to understand the status. You give respect. You pay respect who deserve it. So respect and fear is very important. And in your family too, your neighbors. God is pleased with people, Christians truly fear God, who honor God, who truly relies on His mercy. God is pleased with them and give them spring. Psalm 147, 16. He gives snow like wool. He scatters the frost like ashes. He casts out his hail like morsels. Who can stand before his cold? 18. He sends out his word and melts them. He causes his wind to blow and the waters flow. So in the cold winter, there is hail and snow. God gives them snow and melts. Of course, ice melt, hail melts too. And there's a light breeze coming with spring, and the water, the river will flow again. He sends words. The same in our Christian life too. When your heart is frozen, with the help of Holy Spirit, they have changes in their heart. God sends His words. There's words like snow, hail, snow. It beats them, makes them scary, makes them scared. And also in the Bible, some words are very comforting, very accommodating. And the gospel makes you warm. So you look up to God. When you look up, the gospel will be given to them. It makes their heart really warm. The words of blessing, it talks about how God will help us, and your heart will become mellow and warm. So God melts them. So the words of gospel, words of grace, when we listen to them and our spirit changes, the hardened heart becomes soft, become mellow. And there's a light breeze and flows of river in spring. The Holy Spirit works in our heart like a light breeze, and our heart changes. There are different type of breeze. Breeze of dance, breeze of gamble. And what is the best breeze? Breeze of Holy Spirit. It talks about Holy Spirit. Gospel of John. So the wind and Holy Spirit are connected in the Bible. The wind blows in His own way. God is the only one who controls wind. Same thing. Holy Spirit works in His... We cannot see wind, but it affects us. And when there's wind, leaves move. So when Holy Spirit works in you, it changes. We don't know where it came from, where it goes. We don't know how Holy Spirit works, but it actually does. We understand the gospel. And wind passes. There are signs that there was wind. Likewise, when Holy Spirit works in your heart, you now have heart to love God. Read the Bible. You have compassion on non-believers. God melts. It melts our spirit, become more desperate. Now we have yearning heart and desire for God. Our cold heart becomes melted. So when there is work of Holy Spirit, we can live a life, Christian life, strongly. Acts 2, there's a Pentecost. There was a strong and sudden wind. So Holy Spirit has characteristics of wind. And when there's a sudden wind, our heart becomes very desperate, and we become more desperate. We move swiftly. And a strong wind can blow out a car. So when there's a Holy Spirit and the work of God, we can live a Christian life fully and strongly. So God sends His work, God sends His word, He blows His sand, and water flows. Same thing happens to our soul. When there is a Holy Spirit comes to your heart, just as water flows, your heart, Holy Spirit flows in your heart. 2 Peter. People who are not saved do not have water in their heart, in their soul. But born-again Christians have water, river, flowing river in their heart. Those who drink this water will be thirsty again. But those who drink my water from my well, they will never be thirsty again. It's an everlasting well. So born-again Christians have water that flows unlimitedly, everlastingly, forever flows. God is the one who blows the wind and flows the river. So we understand the words of God. The word is the life, works in your heart. And 19. He declares His word to Jacob, His statutes and His judgments to Israel. It's frightening to stay as an unbeliever. They think that their life is spring. They think that this world is so good to live. This is the best time, but it's a great misunderstanding. God is the one who makes the winter. God is the one who gives snow, hail, freezing cold, blizzard. Those who do not accept Jesus, they will eventually walk into the land where there is no love. So non-believers will eventually go to hell, and there will be hail forever. There will be pain that is unimaginable. They don't understand this land. This world is actually winter, in the middle of winter. They think that this world is warm, but it's not. Great tribulation is coming soon, but they do not know that. Those who understand that there's a great work in their heart, in their soul, in their faith. And they can be difficulties in their life, but in the day that Jesus is coming, those who truly, truly desire for God, there is spring. And God has prepared everlasting spring in heaven. So when you're going through difficulties, God allow it because you have something to repent. God gives you difficulties with good intentions. So the second coming, there will be everlasting spring. On that day, all your hardships and difficulties will be vanished, will be entering the heaven. On that day, our illness, our sickness will be healed, will become perfect. There will be everlasting spring. And you need to understand that the difficulties is only very short, only temporary. So today we learn about the words of God, 147. I hope you take many lessons from this chapter. Let's read it together. Let's pray together. Our merciful, loving God, You saved us with Your precious blood, and with this amazing grace, we are thankful. There are many lost souls around us. Help us not to live having pity on our lives, but always look up to God who gave us salvation and always rely on you throughout our lives. Respect and fear and look for the grace of God. And help us through the difficult time and give us your hand. And also pray for people who are preaching gospel all over the world. And help us with the works of church and accomplish them with your help. And also pray for those who are going through difficulties in their families, and also comfort those who are going through tests in their heart. And I ask all these prayers in Jesus' name. Amen.